So, all right. So, like I said, Nate and Katie Stern are getting ready to leave the area, and I just wanted Nate to be able to just share on a Sunday morning. Nate, I want to just tell you I appreciate you, and you know, we started the church a little over 2 years ago in Governor, and Nathan was a key part of getting that off the ground, and I just want to publicly say that. I appreciate you. I appreciate your family. I appreciate two things about you. Number one, I appreciate that you grew up in the church and you love Jesus and you haven't just departed and you haven't gone AWOL. You grew up in the church. You were groomed really from a young age. And so I appreciate that about you. I got saved when I was, you know, 21, 22 years old. So I really appreciate somebody that grew up in the faith, around the things of God. In some ways, I had a lot of challenges being a first-generation Christian. But in some ways, there's certain challenges for a second-generation Christian. Someone growing up in the church has a whole different set of challenges. And so I just feel like, by the grace of God, you've navigated those, and I appreciate you. So just come and take your liberties. I want to encourage you to open your heart really wide.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, thank you for that, Pastor Mike. I really appreciate that. And thank you for the opportunity of letting me share this morning. I'm really happy that I get to share the sermon both here and in Governor. And I don't take it lightly. I've been really wrestling with God this week, just seeking His face for the Word, and it's changed about 10 times, and not so much as changed, but kind of metamorphosed into what it is today. But yeah, before I get into that, I just want to say something to what Pastor Mike said. I did grow up in the church. I was saved when I was four. And he's right. I never departed. I never went into the world. And I think one of the biggest reasons that I'm trying to duplicate that my parents did is they introduced me to the supernatural of God. The Spirit of God, His glory. And when you get introduced to His glory in such a way where it's life-changing for you, not just your parents' thing, you can't run from it. I really believe you can't run from it. I have seen people do it on occasion. It's still possible, but I know that's what really impacted my life from a very young age, is I knew God for myself. I spoke to God for myself as a young kid. You know, and I had the Holy Spirit, and I was speaking in tongues, and I was trained to pray for the sick, and they would recover. I was trained that even from a young age, I could prophesy, and I could be used of God to heal, because there is no age limits in God. Amen? And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why, because Christianity was alive. It wasn't boring. It wasn't boring. So, I mean, why not? It's fun, right? Praise God. So, yeah, like Pastor Mike said, Katie and I are moving to the state of Missouri. A girl that I went to Bible school with and her family were sent out to Branson from our church in Horse Heads, New York, to start a church just outside of Branson in Kirbyville. And now she has been married to an awesome man of God who's now been brought up under that training and that leadership, and he is now being sent out to start another church in the next town over, similar to Richville, the Governor. And I'm going up there to help with that church plant. It's going to be the Tanny Love Church. So TLC, just like the Love Church in Horseheads. We kept the initials but changed it a little bit. But I'm really, really excited to be partnered again with the group that I've been brought up in my entire life, with friends of mine that I've known my entire life. But man, has this been an awesome little over 3.5 years that we've been in the North Country, really getting to know you guys. I know Katie and I have grown immensely in the last 3.5 years, and just growing together as a married couple, as a family, looking at Pastor Mike and Pastor Ford and Pastor Brian and all the different examples that we have around us up here have really been impacting for us. So we are really going to miss this area. I'm going to miss fishing with Matt and hunting with Matt and, you know, getting in the outdoors up here. But I know I'll come back. and do all that stuff. But praise God. God has given me a word for today, and I want to be faithful to deliver that. Started off as a title of "The Best Is Yet to Come," and then I scratched that out. And then it got into the church today and His glory, and I scratched that out. But I really believe that God wants me to speak to you guys today about beholding the glory of the Lord. Just to behold the glory of God. John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Hallelujah. And I just want to start out right from the beginning and tell you guys that the glory of God is not something that can be manufactured, right? It's not something that can be built. It's not something that can be formed. It's not something that can be formatted or regimented or limited or held back. It can't be covered over. It cannot be boxed in. This glory is a glory that changes not, because God changes not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The difference from the beginning, when man was walking with God in the garden, till now, is that we people, we humans, have kind of polluted the understanding of the glory of God by our own ideas. We've changed the glory of God to fit what we want it to fit. We've changed in our understanding, in our mind, what it looks like, what it feels like, and we've ultimately dumbed it down to a cloud of smoke and a good church service that makes us feel good. It's true. But I've got news today. It's way more than that. It's way more than that. Hallelujah. Before I pray, I want to read one more scripture here, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's going to be a little bit of a passage, so if you want to turn there, feel free. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Who's hungry today? All right. Praise God. I'm glad. The word of God is the bread of life. Amen. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Here we go. "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received this, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of Him who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given, that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Hallelujah. So, to sum up, the spiritual wisdom is revealed by the Spirit of God, receiving the mind of Christ to understand more about the nature of who God is. which is His glory. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank You so much. I thank You, God, for this day that You woke us up and that the people who are in this room, You have divinely ordained to sit here and hear this message. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I welcome You here, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would use me, God, as a vessel to speak Your truth. God, to even be as of an oracle from heaven. Jesus, everything inside of me, Lord, that is of You, let it come out today. God, and everything that's not of You, I ask that You would kill it even before I speak it. Lord, that I would only speak as You have divinely instructed me this morning, God. Be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So what does glory actually mean? I looked up the meaning on Google. Why not? It's easy. Glory is a noun. And the plural noun is glories. The first meaning was high renown or honor won by a notable achievement. It's renown, fame, prestige, honor, or distinction. The second meaning was magnificence or great beauty, splendor, grandeur, majesty, magnificence. They're all synonyms connected to glory. I even looked up some Greek and Hebrew words. In Greek, it is doxa, which means, in short, to honor or renown, glory or splendor, just like we saw in the regular meaning. It also conveys God's infinite and intrinsic worth. That's really important. It conveys God's infinite and intrinsic worth. In Hebrew, the word is adaroth, which is glory or a cloak. There's also Yochbed, which is the Lord is glory. That's a name. The name Yochbed. And I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but I think it's really interesting that that was the name of Moses' mother. The Lord is glory was Moses' mother. And isn't it cool that Moses is one of our greatest examples of the glory of God passing before him? We might get into that a little bit later. And then there's also kabod, which is an abundance or honor or an abundance of glory. And we can see the opposite of kabod in 1 Samuel chapter 4:21, where, and she named him Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel. But the opposite of Ichabod is kabod, the glory of God, the abundance of the glory of God. In my research here, as I was just kind of searching different opinions on the glory of God and different men of God that I respect, seeing what they say about the glory of God, I really found a good one by John Bevere. And I don't know if many of you have really read or listened to a lot of what he has spoken, but I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs here of what he read and what he said. He said, let's ask the question, what is the glory of the Lord? In answer, we look at Moses' request on the mountain of God. Moses asked, please show me your glory, in Exodus 33, verse 18. The Hebrew word for glory used by Moses in this instance was kabod. It is defined by the Strong's Bible Dictionary as the weight of something, but only figuratively in a good sense. Its definition also speaks of splendor, abundance, and honor, like I read. Moses was asking, show me yourself in all of your splendor. And look carefully at God's response. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. So in response to Moses' request to see the glory of God, God said, I will make my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. So right there, we can see that his glory is synonymous with his goodness. And his glory is synonymous with his name. I'll continue. Moses requested all his glory, and God referred to it as all my goodness. The Hebrew word for goodness is tov. And it means good in the widest sense. In other words, nothing withheld. Then God says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And so before an earthly king enters the throne room, his name is always announced by a proclamation. Right before a king enters the room, there's the guy with the stick and the king is coming. And the king comes in. And then he enters in all of his splendor. The king's greatness is revealed, and his court, and in his court, there is no mistake as to who is the king. No one can confuse Pastor Mike for the king if Pastor Mike is in the same room as the king. There's no confusion. If this monarch were on the street of one of the cities in the nation, dressed in ordinary clothes without any attendants, he might be passed by without those around him realizing his actual identity. So in essence, this is exactly what God did for Moses. He is saying, I will proclaim my own name and then pass before you in all my splendor. We see that then the glory of the Lord is everything that makes God, God. All of his characteristics, authority, power, and wisdom, literally the immeasurable weight and the magnitude of God, are contained within God's glory. Nothing is hidden or held back. Man, praise God. Habakkuk 2, verse 14, says, for as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with the awareness or the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. How many want to see that? I want to see that. I want to see the glory of God. You know, Moses said, show me your glory. Why did he say that? It's because he was yearning for more. He was yearning to see God. He had seen God in the power of smoke and in the lightning and in the burning bush. And he had seen God even write the Ten Commandments out. I'm not sure of the way that it happened, you know, line by line. But Moses had seen God do some cool things. And he just wanted to get to know God. I just want to know the man. I want to know the God of the universe who's doing all these things. I got to know him. Thank you, Jesus. Glory is in all of his goodness. The earth is filled with people who are aware of who God is. And when the revelation of who God is begins to hit you, it will be as a wave crashing on you. Just as in Revelation, the angels crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. They're saying this over and over because when God reveals another part of who he is, they can't help but be overwhelmed and cry out, holy. Cry out, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Because there's something about when you get to know someone on a more intimate level. You know, as I was dating my wife and getting to understand who she was and what was ticking in her heart, you know, the more I got to know her, the more I loved her, the more I wanted to be around her, the more she told me of her story, the more I just wanted to be around her. And the same thing is true with God. The more you get to know him, the more you want to know him. The more you're in his presence, the more you want to be in his presence. And I think today, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. One more verse. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. It says in the King James Version, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In the Amplified Version, it says, for even the whole creation, all of nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. They wait for the revealing and the disclosing of their sonship. The world is waiting for you and I to come into this awareness and come into this knowledge, and more than just the head knowledge and more than just the head awareness, but in our heart and in our soul, the awareness of the existence of God, and more than just the existence of God, but He wants us to know Him in His power and in His glory. He wants us to know more than just His power and more than just His glory, but He wants us to know what it means for one of us to be His son or one of us to be His daughter. Because when we know who we are in Christ Jesus, when we know who we've been made to be, we've been made into the righteousness of Christ Jesus. That is who we are. We will no longer struggle with the trivial matters of this world. Sickness and disease and failure and sin will become a distant past thing that we don't deal with anymore because we're just so enthralled with who God is and what He's done for us. Today, I believe I'm here to make a heavenly proclamation that before today, some of us may not have realized. But today, His glory is here. The glory of God is here for you and for me. His glory is here waiting to come upon us like a mantle. Just like that verse said, the earth is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Our community is waiting for us to walk like we're God's kids. I know some of us kind of do and kind of don't, depending on the day, depending on the situation. We can be in it and we can be out of it. But I know we all of us, can come into a greater anointing, if you will, of walking in what it means to be a son of God. You know, I've been wrestling with this all week. And wouldn't you know it, as I'm preparing this, God would test me. Because if I'm going to preach this, if I'm going to deliver this word, I've got to be able to actually practice it. At least sometimes. I'm not 100% perfect. No one is. But I'm trying. I'm doing my best to seek God. And when I fall, He picks me up. In fact, the Bible says we've all fallen short of His glory. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen. We all fall short of this glory. We all fall short of this knowledge. We all come short of the mark. But God says, it's okay. I'm still here. Just get back up and try again. Because I want you with me forever. I want you with me for eternity. But anyway, there's this guy at work. He's a other salesman at the Ford store in Governor that I work with. And this guy is a total grump, all right? Total grump. Every day. Grump. Grumpy. Just, oh, blah, blah, blah. Life is terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Everybody's out to get me. Nobody's for me. I have no friends. Blah, blah, blah. He's got friends. He's got family. I mean, So, about a year ago or two, he fell and hurt his arm, his shoulder. And it kind of, since then on, kind of gave him a little bit of problems and issues. And he told me about it. And of course, being in the church, I instantly thought, well, I should pray for him. But I didn't. You know, face to face. Didn't lay my hands on him and, you know, be healed in Jesus' name. I didn't do that. And so then this winter time, I watched him slip on the ice, catch himself on a running board on a truck, and hurt his shoulder again. I was like, oh, I should go pray for him. I didn't. And last Friday, he couldn't even move it. He had to keep his arm just like this because this whole part of his shoulder was just aching and hurting, and he couldn't move it. And God's like, I want you to pray for him. I was like, nah, he's not going to let me. So I didn't. And the weekend passed, and he came back to work on Monday, and still, he had gotten a medication now to try to help it, and it wasn't doing anything. He was actually scared to take it because he's very big into not believing in a lot of things. But anyway, Monday, I didn't pray for him, and it's really heavy on my heart. You know, we've been in this, especially in this new season, where a lot of us we're really hungry to see the supernatural of God. We really want to see healings transpire. We really want to see miracles and signs and wonders take place because they are for today. They are for right now. God is moving. God is healing. And God is doing the supernatural. He is. And we want to see that more and more here. And so I'm just struggling with this. Like, this guy's arms hurt, but I'm too scared to even pray for him. Tuesday, I didn't pray for him. And finally, Wednesday, I'm just like, and of course, Wednesday is only a few days ago. I'm like, I got to preach on Sunday, and I feel terrible. I feel like I'm not in the will of God because I'm not obeying, you know, and it's like, I got to bring the word on Sunday. And I was like, Bob, I'm going to go look at these edges over here. I think we should do something, change them around, because I'm always moving the lot around and trying to sell, you know, Ford product and everything. So we try to make the lot look cool, make it attractive for people to pull in. And so we got out there. He's like, well, we can maybe move this one over here, move this one over here and do that. And I was like, Bob, I got to tell you, man, I think God wants me to pray for your shoulder. He's like, what? What? I said, yeah. I said, I really believe that God's been telling me for the last 4 or 5 days, especially, that I need to pray for your shoulder. I really believe that he wants to heal you. He's like, do I have to do anything? And he's just standing there like this. Do I have to do anything? I said, no, but I'd like to put my hand on your shoulder. You have to touch me? So I was like, yeah, it's nothing crazy. You don't have to say anything. Don't worry. I just have been wrestling with this, and I know I have to pray for you. And so I put my hand on his shoulder, and I prayed that God would heal him, and God would show his love to Bob, and he would show him how much he cares by healing his shoulder. And anyway, the next day, I went up to Bob, and I said, hey, Bob, high five. And he goes, high five. He lifted his arm right up. I said, what are you doing? He's like, nothing. And I said, what happened, man? He's like, it wasn't you. I said, I didn't say it was me. And he's like, no, if that really worked, that'd be creepy. And I was like, no, Bob, I really believe that God wanted to heal you. And he had an MRI on Friday, and I haven't seen him since just to see if there's anything wrong. But in my prayer, I prayed that even the MRI would show that it's completely healed. And I really believe it is. And since I prayed, it was like, ah. Oh. But that's I believe that happened so that I'd have a really good example for today. Because all of us have these things happen to us quite often. And many of us are like, God, please use me. And God's like, okay, go talk to him. We're like, no, I don't think so. Or no, he's not going to listen to me. No, he's going to think I'm stupid. Well, guess what? It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about him and his glory and his kingdom. And if we truly desire to see his glory, we've got to be willing to walk it out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So the best of his glory is still yet to come. It's yet to be revealed to those who will seek it out, to those who will surrender to him, to those who will let him be mighty, to let him be the powerful God that he is. I said earlier, his glory cannot be contained. It cannot be boxed in. It will not be withheld unless we just say, nah. Because his glory truly is waiting for us to plug into it. It's truly waiting for us to say, God, okay, I'm ready. Like Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. And the life I now live, I live unto God. He's dead to sin, but alive to Christ. And so we must also be. The Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. God is calling out to us right now. He's saying, be ye holy as I am holy. Walk my glory out. Walk in this earth and walk out the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The glory of God is the very essence of who God is. It's His love, it's His peace, it's His joy, it's health and healing, it's life, it's freedom, it's contentment, it's grace, favor, mercy, and on down the line. Everything that the kingdom of God is who God is. He is our healer. He is our righteousness. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He is the Lord that provides, takes care of us, that heals our needs, heals our diseases. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you guys are getting encouraged or not, but I am. I am. Bob and I and Matt and the different ones that have Bible study on Wednesday mornings have been going through the book of Jude. And it's really cool because Jude's so short, but it has so much in it. Like because of all the references that Jude makes. And so we've actually been reading a couple of verses. And in those verses, there's generally references to stories in the Old Testament. And so we've been going through the verses and then going back to the stories in the Old Testament and then referring back and everything. And we haven't even got to this part yet, but I happen to stumble upon this verse in Jude, verses 20 and 21. And it's really stuck with me the last couple of weeks. It's Jude chapter 1. It's only one chapter. Verses 20 and 21. And it says, but you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith. How? How do we do that? How do we build ourselves up in this most holy faith? It says, by praying in the Holy Spirit. Staying right at the center of God's love. Keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master, Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life. And obviously that's the Message version. It's a little different. But I really, really liked it. Because it spoke directly to kind of the way real life is. You know, how do we build ourselves up? Well, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit intercede for you to God. Let Him fill you with His Spirit. Let Him fill you with His presence. I can't tell you how many times in my life I have been so empty, or not so much empty sometimes, but I feel like surrounded. Especially in high school when I was going through the first 6 months of hell, when I jumped from homeschool into the public school scene, I was surrounded by filth. I was surrounded by the enemy. And all I could do was pray in tongues. That's all I could do. And when I did that, the Spirit of God welled up inside of me. And what did it do? It gave me confidence. It gave me boldness. It gave me strength to stand. It gave me strength to wear the armor of God. So that I could stand, and after having stood, I could stand, therefore, having my feet planted firmly on the solid rock. And I would not move. But I couldn't do that without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So we build up ourselves in this most holy faith by praying in the Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love. Man, God's love. I love God's love. And how many of you know that God is love? You can't have love without God, because God is love. And how many of you know what love is? It's not just some ooey-gooey feeling you can share with your spouse or your kids or whatever. It's power. It's authority. It literally is God's glory. Because what did we just read? All of who God is what's in God's glory. God's glory is all of who He is. And so if God is love, His love is glory. And how many of you know that perfect love drives out all fear? It drives out all fear. And so if we're feeling afraid, we need a little bit of His glory. We need a little bit of His love. Because that glory, which is His love, will drive out all fear. Not only does it drive out all fear, but it covers all sin. Praise the Lord. So we've got to be centered in God's love, keeping our arms open and outstretched, ready to receive the mercy of Jesus Christ. And then they added this little tagline, which I can't find in any other version. But it says, this is the unending life. This is what it is like to live in eternity with Jesus, here and now. It's what it's all about. Thank you, Jesus. I also found John chapter 1, verses 4. And once again, I used the Message version. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes. The one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. How many of you know that the glory of God is supposed to move into our neighborhood? And actually, it is. How does the glory of the Lord fill the earth? It's through us. It's through the church. It's through His people. It's through His sons and His daughters that are walking like the royal priesthood that they are. Walking in the authority of the finished work of the cross. And what happened at the cross? We gained access to the throne room. When Jesus was crucified, the veil was torn. And it gained us access to this glory that we read about. Because until that point, His glory was somewhat concealed. It was only for a select couple people that could actually be in His presence. The high priests could be in the presence once a year in the Holy of Holies. Moses probably spent, he's probably one of the people that spent the most time in the literal presence of God, in the glory. He literally, when the glory of God fell on the mountain, everything stopped in the camp of Israel, and they waited for Moses to come back. Just like, oh, God's here. He's speaking to the man. But Moses got to see a glimpse of God's glory before Jesus. But after Jesus, we all have access. Because now we are all priests unto God. And I don't know about you, but I don't go into His presence enough. I don't go into His glory enough. I know I need to. I know I want to. But now there's more than ever, I believe, a need for the sons of God to step into that glory. Because what happens in the glory? What are the effects of the glory of God? And I read through this long writing by Pastor David Wilkerson, who's from the Times Square Church down in New York City. If any of you have read The Cross and the Switchblade or heard the story, this little old preacher from Pennsylvania went right to downtown New York City to get the gang members saved. And boy, did revival come to that area. But anyway, he wrote that one of the effects of the glory of God is that it changes our relationship with God. Just like I mentioned earlier, the more I got to know my wife, the closer and more intimate I began to be with her. Not so much in the physical way, but in the emotional, spiritual way. To the point now where I know what she's thinking quite often. And I know she knows what I'm thinking and what I'm up to. And so the same in our relationship with God. When we go into His glory, when we get into His presence, and we just fall at his feet and just bask in his goodness, which is his glory. We bask in what he's done for us and his sacrifice for us at the cross. It gained us access to his presence. When we just remember that, when we think about that, we place our mind on things above and not beneath, like the scripture says. We get closer to God. Not so much in like a distance, like heaven is like getting closer and closer to us, and, or not so much as we're climbing up on earth, but in a spiritual sense, we're being closer knit to the Spirit of God. And so when the Spirit of God moves, we know it. Because we know God. Because we know His presence. We know what He's up to. We know what He's going to do. We know what His desires are. We know what His heart beats for. We know what His next move is going to be because His Spirit revealed it to us. The Bible says that nothing happens unless God first reveals it to His prophets. And the prophets are pretty much people who just spend a ton of time in the presence of God, and God reveals His will, His way, and His moves, His next moves to. Because they're attentive to His voice. So His glory changes our relationship with Him. The second thing that Pastor David Wilkerson said is it changes our countenance. People can actually visibly see when you've been in the glory of God. Just very good example was in the Old Testament when Moses was on the mountaintop and they had to actually put a veil over his face because he was really bright. Because God changed his countenance to glow. I don't know about you, but I've been around some people that have come out of maybe an awesome church service or a week where they've just been on their face before God. And you can literally see. You just know. You just have this kind of sixth sense like, wow, they've been in the presence of God. Or they're just walking with that kind of anointing and authority like that man has the glory of God all over him. Or that woman has the glory of God all over him. You see a mother mothering their kids with grace and with mercy and just bubbling over, even though they got like 10 of them running around, and it could be extremely stressful, but somehow, some way, there's a miracle that's transpiring in that mother's life. It's because she's been in the presence of God. And you can see it, the way she talks to her misbehaving two-year-old that's throwing a tantrum. But she can extend the grace of God because she knows the grace of God, because she's been in the grace of God. The third thing that the glory of God does is that it changes our relationships with others. How many of you know that when you spend time in the glory of God, you begin to see other people differently? Like, I've come out of really intense times of seeking God, and I just like, whoa. These people, I'm seeing them differently. It's like a new world. It's like the first time I came back from Nigeria on a mission trip. I was 26 days on the mission field, and it was intense. I had to intercede sometimes all night long because there was literal demonic forces that we could feel trying to come in and oppress us. And we were dealing with sickness and all kinds of stuff. I come off of this high, and I come back to the United States, and I'm like, whoa. God, our country needs you in a bad, bad way. And that to me is just like, I want that. I want to be able to walk in our community every day and just have that Holy Spirit kind of beeline where God is like, hey, Nate, that girl over there in the corner, I want you to say this and this and this to her because this is what she's going through. And Pastor Mike spoke a word last week about the woman at the well and how Jesus knew her. How he knew her life. Not because of knowing her and growing up with her and spending time, but he knew her because of the Spirit of God revealing to Jesus a word of knowledge for her. He knew that she had many husbands, and the one she was with she wasn't married to. And because of that stepping out of obedience that Jesus did, he obeyed the Spirit of God to sit down at that well and talk to her in the middle of the day. Revival came to that small town. It says, and many came to know Jesus. And Jesus actually stayed there for a few more days. That's what I want to see. That's what I desire in the depths of my soul, that every one of us could walk with that kind of intensity, with that kind of purpose, with that kind of zeal for the kingdom of God, that nothing else matters except His glory, except getting to know Him. I sat down and I wrote out this scripture from Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed even unto His death. And I believe the writer of Philippians probably at the very beginning is like, oh, kind of like a moaning, a desire. He's like, oh, that I may know Him. Oh, that I may know Him. I really sense that the Spirit of God is really cultivating this desire within His church in a great, great way across the globe right now. That we may know Him. We may know His glory. Jesus. This morning, I want to encourage you that it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Again, today, if you've been struggling with this and maybe you've fallen flat on your face in disobedience in this area, it's okay. Repent and try again. Say, Lord Jesus, help me be like You. Reveal Your heart to me, O God. I want to know You, Lord. More than just getting to know You, God, I want to be bold enough to obey You, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel and see people healed and see people in bondage set free. Just like Jesus got up in the synagogue that first time. He said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bind the wounds. He sent me to set at liberty those that have been bound. That's what He sent you for. That's why He died, so you could do that too. Jesus said, greater works will you do than I have done. Praise Jesus. I want to quickly reference an article, and I rarely ever read this magazine, because in many ways I feel like it's kind of off the mark. But there was a really cool article that I read in Charisma Magazine. I just stumbled upon it. And it's titled, What Mainstream Research Isn't Telling You About the Holy Spirit's Activity Across the Globe. It says, according to some reports, Christianity is expanding rapidly around the globe. Some researchers are suggesting that as many as 3.2 billion out of 7 billion people currently claim to be followers of Jesus. The common assertion that Islam is outpacing Christianity is proving to be erroneous. It's not true. But I want to jump down to the bottom here. It says, while God's glory is on display around the world, not all nations are experiencing the same measure of impact. Christianity is certainly outpacing population growth internationally. However, it is stagnant in North America, Europe, and in other Western nations. Reflecting on this, this writer from the Washington Times recently wrote, Christianity is on decline in America, not just among younger generations or in certain regions of the country, but across race, gender, education, and geographical barriers. The percentage of adults who describe themselves as Christians has dropped nearly 8% in the last 7 years. You've probably heard similar assertions before. These increasingly adverse reports are discouraging for these longing for revival. What is the difference about our nation and other parts of in the industrial West? Why are our expressions of Christianity currently in a free fall? Max Weber once bemoaned that the fate of our times is characterized by the rationalization and intellectualization, and above all, the disenchantment of the world. With all the advanced technology and sciences and theories in the West, it's really hurt this move, because people are just, they think they're smarter. They rationalize out of the supernatural. It's called modernism. And it's basically the loss of the supernatural, which means it's either the loss of belief in the supernatural or loss in the sense of the supernatural. So while Christianity is advancing in much of the world, it's currently diminishing in the West due to the abandonment of the miraculous. Help us, Lord. The reason Christianity in the West isn't keeping up with the rest of the globe is because our leaders remain hesitant about healing, deliverance, and other works of power. For the most part, the organized church throughout the industrialized world isn't open to the reality of the supernatural. Until the Western church is willing to embrace the supernatural, Christianity in the industrialized world won't match the growth in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. God is accomplishing incredible things, and we're mostly missing out on these wonderful stirrings. In this unique hour, we can no longer afford to be disenchanted. And I really thought that was something that I should bring up today, because it's not just some little thing. This is rampant across our nation, and like they said, the Western Hemisphere. We must do something about it. We must. If we don't, who will? And I, for one, don't want to get up there and have God say, "What did you do?" He's like, "Well, went to work, went to church, read my Bible, went to prayer. I prayed for people who were going through rough times sometimes." And I don't mean this message to be something that's putting you down or me down or this church down. I believe the Spirit of God wants to get us on fire again for the miraculous, for the things of the supernatural, for His glory and for His presence. That will no longer be walking just passively, just nonchalantly through this life. Because, you know, Jesus talked to 12 guys and they impacted the world. The reason they impacted the world is because they spent 3 years in His presence. And granted, it was the example of Jesus in human flesh, but He was still totally God. And they got to know His heart. They got to know what God yearned for and what He intensely desired. And this morning, I want to tell you that He desires to know you. And He desires to know you so that others may know. He desires that His glory settle on you here and now, in this moment, today, right now, that you receive His glory, that you sit at His feet and let His goodness pass before you. Let His faithfulness, let His trueness, let His unending love pass before you, in and through you. We are called to be that flesh that dwells among the people. That people could behold the glory of God in us and receive the grace of God, to realize the truth of God. So I want to pray this morning, and I don't know if there's anyone here that is sick. I know, Dan, you've been struggling, but you're good. Praise God. I don't know if any of you have been struggling with doubt, but it's time to stop struggling with doubt. It's time to stop struggling with insecurities and downheartedness and negativity and lack. How many of you know we just learned that we are highly favored? Amen. Everything in the scripture, everything in the kingdom of God, we have access to. We don't have to live these little old me lives. God has called us all to greatness. And it's not so that we can be great, not so that our name could be great, not so we could puff ourselves up with pride and pat ourselves on the back, but He's called us to greatness because His kingdom is great. And we're examples of His kingdom on this earth. So this morning, I just want to pray. And if you really want this, if you really want to just get a hold of the glory of God, I encourage you just to seek God for the next couple of minutes while I pray. And then endeavor to get into His presence. Get into His glory. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before You now. Lord of heaven and earth, we just ask that Your glory would pass before us, Lord. Lord, we know we're human and we're weak and we're frail, but God, through You, we are mighty. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, if anyone in this place is still bound by a sickness, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that they would be healed now. Holy Spirit, You would do as only You can do. I speak life over these people right now in the name of Jesus. I speak peace over these people right now in the name of Jesus. God, boldness. God, and vigor and zealousness for Your kingdom and for Your glory. That they would walk different, that they would talk different, that they would look different, God, that they would see life different because they are connected to the source. They're plugged into the vine. Lord God, they're abiding in Your presence and abiding in Your Spirit. Lord Jesus, come. And let Your goodness pass before us, Lord. Jesus, we need You. Jesus, we want to know You. We desire to see Your face, Lord. And Your face, Lord, we will seek. God, I thank You as these people go from here today, that they'll go out of this door with their heads up, that they'll go out of this door knowing that the glory of God is here today for them. That they can walk in the glory of God. They can walk in the presence of God. And even if the devil rises up a standard, an attack against them, Your Spirit, Lord, Your glory, Lord, will lift up a standard against it. God, I thank You that these people would understand that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. God, that they would understand who they are in You. That they are more than an overcomer. God, that they are more than a conqueror. But God, they are mighty through You. That they are Your sons and Your daughters. Having access to Your throne room, God. Having access to Your presence, oh God. Lord Jesus, that they would stand up and proclaim Your truth in the city. God, they would proclaim Your truth in their families, oh God. They would speak life over their children and over their cousins and over their aunts and uncles and their moms and their dads, Lord Jesus. God, that over St. Lawrence County, that there would be a shroud of depression that would be broken in the name of Jesus. That these drugs and alcohol, they'd be removed in the name of Jesus, because there's people of God that are walking the streets in power. There's people of God that are walking the streets in anointing. There's people of God that are calling things out as though they are and as though they are in the name of Jesus. God, people who are connected to heaven and connected to earth, bridging the gap and bringing Your glory here and now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you've given us access to your throne, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord Jesus, that we remembered earlier, God. Thank you that your blood has cleansed us. And help us have the awareness that your blood wants to cleanse and wash over the entire world, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, impact these lives that they could impact the world. In Jesus' name, amen.